Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Film Festival, Rotterdam, and I'm joined by actress Deborah Hayden. And you act in the film Scumbags, fantastic film, and I think the best way to start off this interview is, could you tell us a little bit about your character in the movie?
My character is Christine. I play the lead character's girlfriend, which is he's basically my boyfriend. In the movie he's called Phil, but he's played by Princess Frank, this really eccentric musician from Los Angeles. And my character, we'll go back to Christine, was more of a kind of a gutter punk when she was younger. Like, she was kind of the troublemaker, and then she met Phil and sort of started straightening her life out. She kind of grew up, her dad's fairly wealthy, owns a company. Christine keeps trying to get Phil to get a job working for him. And he obviously doesn't want to, because he wants to do his own thing. And he kind of started out, I guess, maybe a little bit of the good influence on me, kind of. But then, as in this story, as you can see, he's the one that starts slipping off, and then I'm trying to pull him back in, and it's pretty neat, because if you think of real relationships in life, that's kind of how it can happen. It can kind of ebb and flow, where one person was one way and then they become another way as you age, things like that.
Especially when real life gets involved, and then you realize that, you know, there's more out there or something like that. But in your experience in the movie, did you find that aspect one of the interesting aspects and one of the reasons that really got you into the project?
I felt like, too, one of the main incentives was that there was so much depth to the character, even though, how do I put this? It was, there were so many emotions I was able to portray. A lot of times when you were given, you know, you get different parts, they're kind of one note. They're kind of, you're either like a really bimbo chick, or you're the really mean girl, things like that. But I felt like this character had like more levels, because there were times when we were filming and I'd have to be, you know, maybe not a little bit annoyed with him, but not mad. And then I had a scene where I was crying. And then, of course, we did, like, singing and dancing. So then that was even more... I mean, I don't know what more an actor could ask for, right? Because you're getting to do all these... You have all these levels of emotion. And you get to, like, sing and dance and...
But is that difficult in a way to kind of, like, you know, the different levels of emotions and having to do one thing at one time and then another thing, like the musical number and then the crying scene that you mentioned?
It is, because we shot fairly rapidly, so there was certain days where my scenes were booked, and one minute I'm kind of in the middle, not really happy, not really mad, but a little annoyed, and then and then another I'm happy, and then in the same day, like, I was crying. So that was like, you have to really work yourself, especially for the crying part, you have to kind of work yourself up to it. So I have little ways that I do that. There's certain videos that trigger like tears for me if I watch them online.
Really?
So for me,
and do you want to give away the secret?
I will for me, but people will probably laugh. But I think it's funny that these things actually work for me. One is there's a Budweiser puppy commercial, and it's that song, I would walk 500 miles. Do you know that song?
I don't know it, but it sounds really sad.
It's a Budweiser puppy, and the puppy gets lost, and then he finally comes home, and this wolf is going to try to attack the puppy, and all the Budweiser Clydesdales come running up behind him and scare the wolf away.
So it's the friendship
I'm like, oh, God, see, I could probably start tearing up now. And then
Let's
the
think
other
of happy
one,
thoughts.
And then the other one is what is it, The Avengers? When Iron Man almost dies.
I can't believe it. This is mind-blowing stuff.
No, it's something about the music that they chose. I love his character. And so, I don't know if you remember that film, but they like,
I've never
a
seen
portal
that film.
Opens up, basically, and all these, like, machine alien things are coming in. And they drop a bomb or something. I think he has to, like, the Iron Man has to throw it or, you know, get it out. And
that's very interesting.
Yeah, no,
well,
so...
We all have things like that, for sure. For instance, for me, it's Lady and the Tramp, and what's that song? It's the Lullaby. I can't remember the title now.
Oh, but that would be good. Lady and the Tramp would be a good, like, yeah. Or anyone, or even think of Dumbo, like when the mom elephant.
Please stop.
Oh, please, I know.
This is the saddest interview ever.
So sometimes it's easy, you can pull from yourself if you have time. Like a lot of, some bigger, big budget films, they have, you know, you could baby yourself in your trailer and cry all day and then come out and do your scene.
Oh, yeah,
When you're, you know, indie film, you have to really, you have to be creative and innovative with how, okay, how can I just instantly provoke this emotion?
Yeah.
And sometimes that helps, you know, especially if loud people around talking all the time.
But anyways, one of the things that I really wanted to ask you was, because I know, you know, talking earlier with the director of the film, Mars, that the film itself was very exciting to work on. I mean, there was a lot of improvisation in the sense that, like, you know, like you said, you mentioned there, you had to do a dancing scene, a crying scene the same day, or like within a short period of time. But what is that like, you know, working as part of that kind of, you know, setting where it's not maybe as controlled as it would be in a more, let's say, mainstream or like multi-million budgeted movie? What's it like? Is it very exciting or
I think it's way more exciting because you don't know what's going to happen next. You know, you when you're doing either guerrilla shooting or indie shooting, you don't know if, you know, something's going to come along and like mess up the scene or mess up what you're doing, and so you have to really, you have to be able to think fast and or just keep going no matter what's going on around you.
Yeah.
It's just do what you do to get the shot.
It's teamwork as well. So you have you bond with others.
Yeah. Oh God. There's so many people involved in this film that I just love them now. Like, it's just like, oh, like you just, I want to see them succeed. I want to see them do well. Like I'll cross promote anything I can do. Mm. Like if I see them on TV or see them on something, I'll take a screenshot and post it on my face, you know, because I'm so proud of them.
That's great.
And it's just, you do feel like more connected to them. I feel like we became more like a family. Whereas other film set things I've worked on that were bigger, you don't have that. It's like you have different levels of people, and this person's at this level, and this person's at this level, and you don't talk. You're not allowed to talk, or you're not.
Yeah.
And I just felt like maybe some people wouldn't like the aspect of the bonding, the friendship, but like I think it's what we did here is really unique, and I may not get something like that again. You know?
So I think it's also very important to have to create a sense of community in the film industry when it's independent, but also I think internationally it works very well. As a final question, I'd also like to ask, you know, what's going on in your world besides Scumbag? Have you got any other projects, even beyond acting, if you're doing anything else that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. I actually started, I taught myself computer animation, so I started a little cartoon called Disturbingly Sweet. It's these little, like, cupcakes and ice cream cones, and they might be a little, how do I put it, sometimes not politically correct or not. One of them, I have the ice cream cone, and he's dreaming about a female ice cream cone, and you see two people holding them, and he's talking to her, and then he has little ice cream. He like slips off of the cone and falls and smashes on the ground. And then he wakes up. So it's got like a little edge to it, like kind of
surrealism a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So
but just imaginative, yeah. Imaginative.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of like would think that there's one character that I'm going to introduce that's going to kind of be like Darth Vader, but he's like a red velvet cupcake. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he kind of starts out good, but then he goes bad.
Wow.
So I have that. And then I also, I have a degree in fashion design.
Mm-hmm.
And so here and there, I make costumes, different things. I just made a My Fair Lady costume with Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the Ascot scene where it's that big, big hat, and it's black and white.
Yes,
and
of course,
I just recreated that. That was so much fun. I love that.
That's
so I'll costume model. People draw me in the costume.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's lots going on in your world.
Yeah.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. It was so great to be here, and I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Great. Well, best of luck with the premiere, because that's taking place later on today. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.